Questions are swirling and people are devastated following last week's avalanche of provincial budget cuts largely targeted towards arts, culture, and heritage spending. We're now finding out the provincial government's budget cuts are extending beyond what initially looked like cuts only to arts and history programs. The saga started with news that the Port Hastings Visitor Information Center would be closed. The center is currently located just past the Canso Causeway on the Cape Breton side and is many driving tourists' first stop once reaching the island. When news the center would be closing broke, it shocked the CEO of Destination Cape Breton. Terry Smith says they were not consulted before the cut was made and discussed the effect it will have.
Last year, in 2025, the data we have that's been provided by the province actually shows that there was a 13% increase in people using the services at visitor information centers. In 2024, it was a 14% increase. So, I mean, there's definitely a growth. Overall, in the past 2 years, according to the province's stats, we've been about flat in terms of visitation. But more people that are coming are using these services. That speaks to the demand for these services. And the importance of them is that, most people do, book online and use their phones for travel information. But when they get to a destination, that's when they start looking for some more specific information. You know, where are some of the hidden gems? What are the events that are happening this week while we will be here? And that's the type of information that these folks in the visitor information centers would provide those visitors. And what it does for a place like Cape Breton is it moves people around the island. They don't just come to go around the Cabot Trail. They discover other parts of the island, and we see the benefit of that. So removing these centers, we just don't think it's the responsible move.
He praised the work done by the Port Hastings Visitor Information Center staff.
They are the experts, on the ground, and especially in Port Hastings, that's the front door to Cape Breton. The vast majority of our visitor traffic that comes by road will be coming through Port Hastings. That's the way to orient people about, what routes to take around the island and to really provide that education. I should add, too, that we've got a specific strategy that we're focusing on that is trying to encourage people to stay longer while they're in Cape Breton, stay an extra day. Visitor centers are an important part of that process, just educating people on how much there is to do and hopefully that can influence, how long they stay on the island. So for us, it directly, goes against the latest strategy that we're working on.
He says he understands there are fiscal pressures and decisions need to be made, but he says the province needs to consider the return on investment for visitor information centers.
I don't think that the return and the impact of these centers has been properly analyzed, and I think we'd strongly encourage them to reconsider this decision, put a pause on it, and start taking a look at all of the impacts, because we've been hearing from a lot of our tourism operators that they're very upset and concerned about how this is going to directly impact their business.
Meanwhile, the Savoy Theater in Glace Bay is facing a significant cut to their operational budget that will limit the amount of large-scale productions they will do this year. Savoy Theater Executive Director Pamela Leader says they found out there would be a 20% cut in their operational budget this year and discussed the effect the cut will have.
It's disappointing, for sure. What it means is we'll end up doing one less show that we produce ourselves, like the musicals like Frozen, Come From Away, Jersey Boys, those shows over the next year, instead of us doing three a year, we'll do one or two, unfortunately, because of the cost. I know most theaters across Nova Scotia have had a 20% cut, which is devastating to any theater, because theaters are not money makers, but you'd like to be able to keep keep things open. We're going into our 100th year. And so we survived 100 or 99, and we'd like to set the theater up for the next 100. It just makes things a little bit more difficult. But the other side of the coin is I realize that things are difficult everywhere. Being disappointed or being upset is a normal way to be with these cuts, but I think we have a plan of action.
She shared her feelings on the broader cuts.
The tourism sector is vital to Nova Scotia. Obviously, it's one of our, just the beauty of Nova Scotia and just having the cruise ships that everybody worked so hard to get to come in. And to completely close those museums, I think, is a huge mistake. And we'll come back to bite this government.
In the arts sector, the province has ended a school program as part of the cuts that brought a variety of arts to children across the province. The Artists in Schools program was canceled by the provincial government. The program worked with art organizations to bring artists of all stripes into classrooms. Sherry Ramsey is a professional writer who worked with the Artists in Schools program through the Writers in Schools group. Ramsey says she worked with the program for over 15 years, visiting schools across Cape Breton, and shared her reaction to the news the program would be ending.
It was devastating, honestly. The past couple of years, past 3 years, I've also participated in sort of a collaborative program with artists in the schools and writers in the schools to do a week of workshops with students. We were based out of the art gallery at CBU. So there would be an artist in residence for the week and myself as the writer. And so we would see, two classes of students from around Cape Breton every day for a week. It goes beyond just classroom encounters, but the artists in the schools program as a whole reaches a lot of students. And so, just devastating. I feel like it really cuts. All of these cuts really attack the heart of what it is to live and write and be a creative person in Nova Scotia, as well as people who live here, and that's part of their experience is living in a creative kind of community.
She also discussed the effect cutting the program will have on rural students.
One of the classes that we had at the recent workshop at CBU were students from Inverness, and talking to the teachers, they were like, we don't get many opportunities in where we are to participate in things like this. So, those kids got up and got on a bus super early to be at CBU, in the morning, and they were so excited to do it. Just because they don't get those opportunities as often. And I've traveled to rural schools as well over the years, and the students are always so excited to see you because, as I said, they don't get those opportunities very often. And I know in the past 5 years, I think Writers in the Schools alone has put students in touch with artists, 150,000 students, I think, in 5 years. So it's definitely having an impact. And it's such a long-standing program. I have run into students many years later who still remember that I visited their classroom and, they will mention it and what an impact it had on them.
Her comments were echoed by Nancy Chesson, a ceramic artist who worked with the Artists in Schools program.
When we look at the art, we're being told that the future generations are going to need to be very creative. And creativity is going to be one of the most sought after skill sets. And so to have an actual live artist, who's working and practicing in their medium, visit a classroom and teach and inspire those kids, that's like a really important thing for them to have. And then when we also look at the mental health picture, all around the world we're talking about mental health issues with our kids and our young adults, and there's nothing more therapeutic than the arts. than visual arts or musical art therapy. And, you know, the time is, it's very important for that to happen now while people really need it, while we know that it's important.
She asked the government to reconsider the cuts.
It's not written in stone yet, so we can still write and protest this particular budget and prevent the arts from being cut perhaps this time if we contact our politicians involved in this decision-making process.
But we now know arts, culture, and heritage weren't the only areas to face cuts by the provincial government. The cuts are also affecting Mi'kmaq and African Nova Scotian organizations, as well as programs designed to support families and children. Joanna LaTulip-Rochon is the executive director of the Cape Breton Family Place Resource Center and says they are also facing provincial budget cuts.
So we are facing exactly a $147,110 cut, which is about 15% of the budget that the Department of Opportunities and Social Development would provide to the organization. Well, initially I received an incorrect letter which said that that was my total budget. That made me feel one thing. And then I got a corrected letter which told me that was the amount of the cut. And certainly it leaves us reeling. The work that we do, I'm sure our communities know, is all around supporting families with children that might be having extra challenges or have barriers to accessing services. So when it comes to doing less, which with less, we're going to have to do less, it puts us in a position of making very, very difficult choices. And so it how does it make me feel? It made me feel very sad.
She spoke more about the impact of the cut.
It does mean we're going to have to make very difficult choices. And so it's not about being able to sort of skim off the nice things and only do the necessary things. We are an organization that is sort of 100% focused on the very basics and the very necessary support. And so some things that are feeling very necessary just won't be able to happen. And so for me, I'm concerned about, first and foremost, the children and the families that we support, and really wanting families and children to know that we're going to work really, really hard to hang on to the most impactful things that we do and to try to do our level best to make these adjustments in ways that have the least impact. But you can't lose $147,000+ and have it not be felt in the organization and in the broader community.
The frustration with the provincial budget cuts are now coming to a head with a rally planned for tomorrow in front of the provincial house in Sydney. The rally is being organized by New Dawn Enterprises artistic director Melissa Kearney, who works with artists and the rotating art installations found at the Eldwick Arts Center. She says she was shocked and confused by the wide-ranging cuts.
The days that followed were quite heavy because it impacts so many people that I know, and so had a bit of a wet mop feeling for a few days for sure. I was asked, and a few other people I know were asked, to join the rally in Halifax happening at the same time tomorrow. Halifax is a bit far. And I think that was the next thing that struck me, was that we have a huge arts and culture and heritage community, and we have multiple Mi'kmaq communities, and there's no shortage of people who are impacted by those cuts here. And so we are well within good reason to do our own rally in tandem with theirs.
She shared a message for people to get involved in the rally.
I would like people to consider how much arts, culture, heritage, you know, language, our museums or cultural institutions, how much they impact people's daily, weekly lives. You know, some people have difficulty seeing that impact, you know, but it's our stories, our songs, the music that we love, the art that we listen to, the books that we read, the culture that we champion. So you don't have to be an artist to connect to what's happening. It's really, art and culture is for everyone and does have an impact, whether you recognize it or not. So I think, yeah, I would encourage people to think about what they lose, like the average citizen loses, if, well, now that there are such drastic cuts to arts and culture and heritage.
The rally is scheduled to start at 12 p.m. noon, rain or shine, at the Provincial House in Sydney. For Coast 89.7 News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Jacob Postlewaite.